idea for another podcast about our writing, Adelaide Plains chapter verse group. I've launched a book, which was exciting.
Yes, you launched a book in January of poems about your ankle.
Because I've broken
angles
my ankle.
Angles on ankles.
Angles on ankles. Not angels, but angles on ankles.
And we're reprinting copies of Winged Pods.
Winged
as well.
Pods. And the front cover looks much better than what it did before.
Yes.
We'll be launching that again, or relaunching that, or having it available anyway, probably every time we do anything.
Yes.
Climate is changing. And as writers, I think it's our duty to do our best to inform others that, hey, this is important, can you take a look at this? Whether we're doing it in fictionalised or real life, non-fiction, it's important. Literary news.
Are we going to introduce our new podcast person?
Indeed.
Okay, I'm here, Carolyn. And we have Jeanette, who's the secretary of our group, and we have Michelle, who does wonderful things.
Who turns up on occasion, but
But we're also very excited to have Marie with us. Thank you. And Marie's a fine writer, a member of our writing group, and we love it when she's with us.
Yes. Thank you. So, on to news. The Guardian very kindly did a literary calendar for the year, so this year my news will
just
be based...
Just for Jeanette.
Based on the Guardian literary calendar, I have my own editions, and I'm going to actually begin with a couple of news items of my own. The 3rd of January was Tolkien's birthday, and he would have been 128. And then last week, Tolkien's younger son, Christopher Tolkien, died, which is actually significant because it was Christopher that published all of the posthumous works of Tolkien. So actually more works were published after Tolkien died than while he was still alive.
That's hopeless yet, girls.
I want to get the delight and everything while I'm still alive. Yeah. But hey, people, one of the things I think people write because they do want to be remembered after they're gone, but
I think he wrote because it was his passion.
It's what you do.
He did want to get his other writings published, but publishers weren't interested. But writing on the fame of Lord of the Rings, people would just read anything that was written by Tolkien after that. And so all the earlier history, which is what the TV adaptation that is currently being made in New Zealand is based on, his earlier histories, all of that was published by Christopher after his death. So, but Christopher was also the handbrake on any TV rights. He hated film and television. Wouldn't have anything to do with the Peter Jackson adaptations, and he wouldn't release rights because he had the copyright to all the material that he published after his father died. When Jackson was making the Lord of the Rings films, he could only include the material that was in the Lord of the Rings book that the rights had been sold to during Tolkien's life, and he couldn't refer to material that wasn't referenced in that book. So that was my little additional news. Oh, and Isabel Allende has published another book called A Long Petal of the Sea, semi-fictional or semi-non-fictional, based on a real life of a real person, starts in Spain during the Civil War in Spain and ends up dealing with the Allende and the Pinochet years in Chile.
Isn't she in her late 70s or something?
Yes,
yeah,
yes.
Yeah, I reckon we can cut her some slack.
Yeah. Well, I'm a fan of her writing. I don't think she's a great writer, but I enjoy her writing.
Yeah, I love her. Love her stories.
So other news, there's BBC have just launched a adaptation of Dracula, and just before Christmas they did one of the Philip Pullman, his Dark Materials, which I absolutely loved. I love Philip Pullman's writing. And there's another series coming later this year, second series of that. This month was the centenary of the birth of Isaac Asimov.
Go Isaac.
It was all the bicentenary of Anne Bronte's birth, and her birthday was actually on the 17th of January. T.S. Eliot Poetry Prize ceremony happens this month. Amanda Iannucci's film adaptation of David Copperfield comes out this month, and the Costa Book of the Year is awarded. Also, on this day is the anniversary of the death of George Orwell, and the 28th of this month is the anniversary of the publication of Pride and Prejudice, which was published in 1930.
And Clive James died.
Yes, of course. Didn't mention the death of Clive James just before Christmas.
Great mind, great man, gone.
Oh, great sense of humour and had a really good sense
And a fine poet as well.
Yeah, a really good sense of fun around his writing at times.
I wasn't a huge fan. I found he was very cutting.
So I love that.
Sometimes I really enjoyed it, and other times I thought he was being very elitist. I'll leave news at that. Yes, so the writer's discussion, the theme is identity. For the writer's discussion, for this year, the BBC put out a list of 100 most significant books chosen by a team of writers, and it's broken down under themes. So 10 a month. Each month we'll look at the next theme. So the theme for this month was identity. The list of books were Beloved by Toni Morrison, Days Without End by Sebastian Barry,
Fugitive Pieces by Anne Michaels,
Half of a Yellow Sun by Chimamanda Ngozi Adichie. Apologies for mispronouncing some of these names. I'm not familiar with some of them and I probably won't get them correct. Homegoing by Jan Gyasi. Small Island by Andrea Levy. The Bell Jar by Sylvia Plath. The God of Small Things by Arundhati Roy. Things Fall Apart by Chinua Achebe. And White Teeth by Sadie Smith.
It's quite broad, another broad theme.
Identity, yes. It's a hard one. You've then got to define what you mean by identity, I think, because it can be personal identity, cultural identity.
Is memoir automatically identity related? Well, yes, must be. But is it just...
Because yeah, I would wonder why Maya Angelou's I Know Why the Cage Bird Sings isn't on that list, because I certainly think that was an amazing book, and that was certainly about identity, and she's really very well respected as somebody who was one of the early advocates, and advocates isn't the right word, but certainly one of the early people who really showed that, you know, African women writers were...
Had opinions which were worth
hearing. African-American, I could say, yes, were opinions, and certainly her... So is it about your life story? Because I certainly would have thought that was a book about identity, because she spoke so strongly about those sorts of things. The Colour of Water is another book. I don't know who wrote that. That was another book that really spoke strongly about identity, and I just thought that was an amazing book about a man who had an African-American father but a Jewish mother, and the Jewish mother actually, the true story, she went and lived in the African-American community in the 60s, where for a white woman, and she was embraced within that community. And that was just really interesting where, you know, she raised these very successful children. He actually spent some time in jail, and then when he came out, he became an author. That was another... Beloved is definitely on my to-read, you know.
It's on my too,
yes. Have you read any, Marie?
I do want to read The Bell Jar by Sylvia Plath.
Guilty. I absolutely loved Small Island. That and God of Small Things are two of my favourite books. They'd be on my sort of long favourites list. Andrea Levy died last year, which I thought was very sad. Oh. She had Caribbean heritage. She was a British woman and drew on that in her writing. So Small Island deals with immigrants from the Caribbean coming to England post-war and thinking of themselves as British citizens when they're in the Caribbean and arriving in England to find that they're not viewed in that same way. So there's all that cultural conflict, racism.
Racism is a terrible, racism, evil thing, isn't it?
Post-war Britain. They made a TV adaptation of it that starred Ruth Wilson and David Oyelowo and Benedict Cumberbatch before they became well-known actors. And the other one, of course, was Things Fall Apart, which we did at uni, and so long ago I loved it at the time, but I don't remember much about it.
I remember being blown away by it because, you know, I just loved it, just was love the writing, love the book, but once again, I read it so long ago. I wonder if I read it again if I'd be as... I don't know, for me it was just such a different
experience. It is a book I'd love to reread, just because I know I loved it and I don't remember it as well as I'd like to.
Yeah.
It really, I think, did make you feel as though you were there. It took you into that village.
He has written other books, but yes, I don't think any of them were quite as well known. Not saying they're not as good, but certainly not as well known.
Half of a Yellow Sun, I think, has been also made into a movie, which I noticed the other day and thought, oh, I'd like to watch that. So most of these books I know very little about.
It's certainly a list that's worth exploring further.
Yes.
Mm. Re-exploring or exploring.
Yeah. So our homework, Marie, is to read all 10 of those by next month. And then we would like your opinion on all of them. Thank you. We do that. That's our initiation for the new podcaster.
These aren't necessarily, you know, the best books on the subject. These are the ones that were considered most significant or, you know, that actually had the most impact.
Right.
So they're not picked for necessarily for the quality of the book.
Yep.
It's often about impact, so...
Judy Blume.
Yes.
She's actually a very good writer.
Okay, I've never heard of her.
She's a young adult. I've heard of her. Okay, sure. My Darling, My Hamburger. And Margaret, are you there? It's no, God, are you there? It's me, Margaret. So okay. Yeah, probably about grade 4 or 5 level.
So we will move on, and next we have
writer's tip.
The writer's tip, and Carolyn.
Okay, so I was given writer's tip. Carolyn, get a writer's tip. So rather than Google one, I thought of one. And my writer's tip is, when you are a writer, don't limit yourself to one genre. As a writer, you can do many different things. You have a way with words.
You can even mix genres in the one book, which is what I'm thinking of doing with the book I'm writing now, is semi-fictional, semi-fact, and mixing.
Yeah, for sure. You rebel, you.
Yes.
A lot of these books on identity maybe are doing that themselves. Who knows? I mean, I'm a poet, and I'm also writing a novel, attempting to write a novel, and I'm also going to become famous as a cozy mystery writer once I actually write some. And that's my aim. Before I turn 100 and or die, whichever comes first, I want to be famous as a cozy mystery writer.
What about you, Marie? Do you mix your genres?
Yeah, I like writing poetry, but I do a lot of article writing, a bit of blog writing, a few short stories.
Although, does writing work reports count?
Yes,
surely it does.
Because sometimes
that would be very fictional.
Articles for the crossword.
And I'm the editor of that, so I write bits and pieces too.
It's true.
This child, whilst being a fine worker, has some issues with various things. Just don't list them. and the parents will go, yeah, tell me about it.
So, yeah, I guess I do fiction, non-fiction, history, but also writing articles for Crossroad Chronicle on cooking, which I'm a terrible cook. I actually know what I'm talking about.
And next we have the word of the day. Thank you.
Yes, now I'm going very all out Australian this month.
Oh, beauty, mate. Truth, mate.
Mainly because of the fires. So these are a set of books from the Australian Museum that Angus got when he was on his school trip in Canberra, given to him. He didn't go and buy them. My son did not go and buy these books. I would have been very proud of him if he had. But their bus burnt down and they got gifts from various businesses and institutions in Canberra, which was just delightful. And this set of books was amongst the gifts. I sat down and read them from cover to cover because they're so much fun. I love words. A lot I was familiar with, some I wasn't.
What's the title of the book?
Aussie English for Beginners.
Beautiful. Mate. And beauty.
Yep. So Pobble Bank. Pobble Bonk.
Pobble Bonk. Pobble Bonk. If you say it like this, Pobble Bonk, because that's the sound that the frog makes. It's a wonderful children's picture book called Pobble Bonk.
Oh,
yeah, it's gorgeous. Lovely.
Yep. So it's a large burrowing Australian frog. The male has a loud single note sound that sounds like bonk. And hopefully they haven't just become extinct. Readings of own works.
My New Year's resolution was to do readings on the podcast, and then I went to go and get my USB, and it malfunctioned on the laptop. So
I've got a poem called Hospital Waiting. Waiting for ambulance to arrive. Waiting for the ambo's decision on if to go to hospital and where to go. Waiting to head off. To get there, tests, more results. Waiting to get better. Waiting to understand that term, waiting. Waiting, waiting, and waiting. Just because. That's it. Now, that was not necessarily for me. It's for anybody who's had that waiting, because it's urgent, needs to go. So urgent, you need the ambos to be at your place and waiting. Waiting is a fine thing. If you've got people there who are prepared and ready to do what has to be done if it does become urgent.
Okay, I can read. Decided to read something from The End of the Gate, which is a book which is very, very focused on identity. It's very much a theme, personal identity and how we define ourselves. So, and finding that self-awareness, self-knowledge. I felt the searing heat, not the thick, sticky heat of chartered city streets, but the clean desert heat. I felt as though I could stretch my corporeal being across the rolled-out landscape like butter. I'd forgotten the space through which the soul diffused, a great immensity of nothingness, which diminished the body to a mere speck and swelled the soul to its infinity, a vast blueness vaulting over a shimmering earth. I had forgotten the vastness of emptiness. Such space could not be imagined in the mind-manacled city.
The earth flattened to a board under the immensity of space, rolled out under the weight of emptiness, rippled like a red sea frozen into osmosis. It was a landscape painted by the scalding sun and shaped by the scraping north winds. I felt the same old urge to fill my lungs with the dust-ridden air and expel it in violent sound, and the old desire to flex my limbs in unrestrained movement. I paced up and down the corridor of the carriage. The journey seemed interminable. The clicking of the wheels measured seconds, ever repeating themselves. The watch near my heart ticked in time. I began to wonder if there was such a place as Ninrui, or whether it was just another illusion, like the mirages that bordered it. The train stopped at the same old siding, and I talked to the same old station master, with the ferocious eyebrows, one raised and one lowered in a fantastical expression. My appearance out of the vaults of memory sparked a train of doleful reminiscences. The passage of time hung on him like a pall. I remember the first time he went south. Right little larrikin you was, running and leaping all over the place, shouting so's they could hear you in the hill. My old Madge, she says, I'll never make a lady out of that scrap. There's not a creature wilder this side of the Murray. If she could see you now. How's the reek this year, Mr. Beadle? I asked in a desperate attempt to divert the conversation. Eh, the reek. Been more bushels go down this line than I've ever seen for many a year, and fetching a good price too. I hear what with the war and all. This war's been the saving of the Mallee. There's many that would have gone bust but for this. Good times are coming. Good times are coming at last. But hark, I hear a singing in the lines. There, see, a light coming. In the direction that he pointed, a star detached itself from the firmament and began to bear down upon us. The man scurried off to fix the signals, diving into the blackness that lapped like an enveloping lake around the gaslit platform. While the shadow of the approaching train rent the stillness of the night, I wondered if returning was going to be the biggest mistake I had made yet.
Very good. Marie's reading.
Oh, Marie, sorry.
That's right. I'm not, but Marie is.
Okay, mine's a poem called Maiden in a Crinoline. An image from a time long gone. She was the daughter of someone. Gentle maiden in crinoline of blue. Smiles sweetly, meekly, right on cue. Keeps any opinions to herself, not wanting to be left on the shelf. She flutters her eyelashes. She's looking for a man to become a wife, a mother, her basic life plan.
Charlotte, that's the only plan she has, but who knows? Mm. You don't ever know what's going to happen, do you?
Mm. I imagined a photo. Did you get that?
Yeah.
Get a photo?
Yeah. Yes. Actually, it was at a session Carolyn ran some time ago, and she gave out pictures, and it was a picture of a lady in the blue crinoline, and that inspired the poem.
Mm. Lovely.
That's really good. Mm. Excellent.
Pictures are good things to inspiration.
That works well with the theme. I do think.
Yes.
Okay. So that's all done.
Listener's challenge.
Oh, sorry, the listener's challenge is to...
And I thought this month, because of the fires, we should honour the CFS, who helped keep Gawler safe.
Yes.
And did so in December when there was a fire that threatened our town. So I thought listener's challenge this month, our wonderful CFS.
Great idea.
And that's it for this month.
Wonderful, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.